Buy now and make no payments until fall. That's right. At Jeff Weiler's Columbus Auto Mall, drive today with no down payment and no payments for 120 days. Whether it's a car, truck, or SUV, why wait? Shop hundreds of vehicles, all with no payments till fall. Hurry into the Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall, where the deals won't wait and neither should you. Find us on Gender Road or jeffweilercolumbusautomall.com.
This message is supported by Boehringer Ingelheim, the maker of NexGard Plus, Afoxolaner, Moxidectin, and Pyrantel chewable tablets. Next level dog owners will do anything for their pets, especially when it comes to their well-being. And that means giving them next level protection from parasites with NexGard Plus Chews. NexGard Plus Chews provide one and done monthly protection against fleas, ticks, heartworm disease, roundworms, and hookworms. Plus, they're designed to be easy to give in a tasty, beef flavored soft chew. Use with caution in dogs with a history of seizures or neurologic disorders. Dogs should be tested for existing heartworm infection prior to starting a preventative. Ask your vet about NexGard Plus Chews.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
2 hours in radio.
Yes! Hell yeah! Hey, come on, baby! Come on! Yes! Come on! Yes! Yes!
Moneyline with Donnie Wrightside.
It is tempting as a GM to go, now hold on, what can I get as a return? Who can I get as a free agent quarterback for 1 year? Who can I draft? Yeah, it makes some sense. For the life of me, I have no idea when I sit back and watch the Patriots and hear Bill Belichick anymore, if he's even all there in his head.
And Kevin Walsh.
He's shooting 29% from the field. And people are saying, guys, he was wide open from his go-to spot. He needs to go to the bench. He has no go-to spots. You're out of your mind.
On Sports Grid Radio, Sirius XM Channel 159.
Here we go. It's a Monday. New week, new money. Moneyline, Donnie Wrightside and Kevin Wall, Sirius XM Channel 159. Bringing that heat on the Sports Grid Network. A lot to go over and a lot to preview. Monday Night Football tonight, Commanders versus the Eagles. But a lot of things went down yesterday, including the Buffalo Bills, a second straight week, now sitting at 6-3. We'll talk a little college football and where we think maybe the committee is going for tomorrow night. But these are the days that we love. Armchair quarterback style, KW.
Tremendous, tremendous action. The Buffalo Bills are in third place in the AFC East. We have played 10 weeks with one game left, I guess. So, you know, 9.99 weeks of NFL action. And they are in third. And people are acting like that is a non-story. How is that possible? How are we acting like this is a non-story with Buffalo? Super Bowl favorites. Like, the question is, can they win the division? We got to start to recalibrate here, man.
Maybe we will, and maybe that time will come, but I always like to see this, too. Do you remember in overtime, because I'm seeing on ESPN right now, the play that got them down, talking about the Minnesota Vikings, down like inside the 2 or 1 yard line? The Bills then lined up with 12 men on the field and took down Dalvin Cook for like a 4-yard loss. Basically a game-saving play because he gets in. Obviously, it's over. He doesn't lose any yards. You have a different play set than losing 3 or 4 yards on that first play. So it does, like, everything coming in actually helped the Bills in that game, right? You had the catch on the sideline. That really wasn't a catch, but they didn't review it at the time. It was a wild game overall, but I think it's the haves and the have-nots where the Buffalo Bills came in this season with a lot of hype, still a lot of people respecting them. The Vikings go in there and beat them in their own building in overtime. It's like, the Vikes just, you know, side road type team right here.
No, well, the Vikings, I think, are getting their credit now, it seems like, from a lot of places. Maybe not me. Because I'm not going to buy any Kirk Cousins. I'm smarter than that, right? But people get bullied into record talk. Just like people got bullied into trying to give the Steelers credit 2 years ago, and then they got smashed by the Browns in that opening playoff game. I don't need to give the Vikings their due and pretend that I think they're a tier one football team. They are not. Their quarterback is Kirk Cousins. The idea that if that game was played 7 hours later, instead of a 1 o'clock kick, an 8 o'clock kick, and they would have lost that game 31-7 is something that'll only sound like a joke to someone that's not actually watched any Kirk Cousins football. So unless they can, you know, find a way to play these playoff games at 4 in the morning and back in COVID crowds, no, I'm not buying Minnesota, who can separate from precisely zero teams that they play.
It'll be interesting to see how these teams respond down and in kind, like the next couple weeks. I think the Buffalo Bills probably would right the ship here against the Cleveland Browns, but tough game here on the horizon and a good one there for the Minnesota Vikings and the Dallas Cowboys coming up. Two teams coming in different emotional situations. One, elated to win. The other, feels like they let one slip away, talking about the Green Bay Packers game and the Dallas Cowboys. So we'll see how that one plays out, or, you know, down the road, even if it makes a difference. Are the Philadelphia Eagles going to run away with the NFC? Or is somebody going to challenge them? Looks like the only team to challenge them would be the Vikings. And as we know, the Eagles already beat the Vikings, so a de facto tiebreaker, two-game advantage over them at that point here. So there's a lot to dissect and take a look at. And again, college football will certainly ramp that up in the next segment as well, next few segments, I should say, getting some points across the bow to see who actually has a legitimate chance to win the college football playoff, but further the fact, who actually has a legitimate chance to actually make it in to the college football playoff. But also, we're going to talk quarterbacks here. Living up to the hype, not living up to the hype, and what to expect out of young quarterbacks moving forward. Because as Kevin and I have been talking about the past couple weeks, the 300-yard pocket passer, that's what I want to see my quarterback do, has sort of turned into, man, he threw for 205 and he ran for 75. Woo, that guy's really getting it down pat, which I think is kind of interesting.
Yeah, it's hey, can I get, you know, 280 yards of offense out of my quarterback? It is kind of the new way to look at it, I guess, but I don't know. I just think is becoming very interesting is for now about a month, we've come on and we've had to sing the praises of Justin Fields. And you just would have thought at some point, like, man, he's lighting teams up through the air. And instead, he has become legitimately the most dangerous running back over a month stretch that the NFL's ever running back, quarterback, from a running perspective, that the NFL's ever seen. Nobody has ever had this type of run at the quarterback position on the ground.
A lot more to talk about today. If you want to get involved in the show, it's pretty easy to do. Hit those call lines up, 844-843-6879. And also, an odds boost popped up for tonight's Monday Night Football extravaganza. We'll explain it, see if we'll take it, coming up next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Yay! Right back at it here. It's Moneyline in the Afternoon on a Monday as we look forward to an exciting weekend in sports, but also look back to what happened over the weekend. And certainly the NFL was center stage on Sunday with some wild football games, as we talked a little bit here, and also from the early line on the Vikings-Bills 33-30 game, the Lions 31-30 over the Bears. So you did have some excitement and some scoring here. Then you had some boring games, which if you were looking at like eyeballs or what got you excited the next day, it seems like two games stood out directly, or should I say didn't stand out. Steelers-Saints was brutal, and so was the Titans and the Broncos. Now, obviously, the Titans, who have zero offense, they're 6-3. It's outrageous that they're 6-3, which means that their coach is actually doing something right, their defense is playing well, and their offense is absolutely brutal to watch. But I think you could focus in a little bit on what's going on with the Saints. I mean, the bottom just fell out of their organization yesterday. No, I mean, we weren't expecting them to go in and just crush the Steelers, because obviously the line was right around to pick them. But it just seems like they no-showed yesterday, and they got Jarvis Landry back at wide receiver, and none of it helped them.
Well, I always thought the Steelers were going to win the game. But if you would have made me lean on the total, I probably would have thought over. I thought maybe, Kenny Pickett comes out, has himself a nice game. The fact that they ran all over them has been surprising. You know, the thing with the Saints is the offensive issues have been a bit obvious to see. But defensively, I feel like they've taken a step back as well, which has been a tough thing for them overall. They're a mess. People undersold the fact that Sean Payton, who was no worse than the, you know, eighth best coach in football, left that organization. Drew Brees, I know we say, oh, Drew Brees has never, you know, his arm fell off. He's still Drew Brees. So now, over the course of 2 years, you lose those two key kind of focal points. And I know we can, again, talk injury, but do you feel like Michael Thomas and Marshawn Lattimore flip this around and all of a sudden this is a team with a winning record? I don't think so. The Saints lost a guy that was way too important to them. And to be fair to them, the last thing you needed was to run back up against Pittsburgh the week they get T.J. Watt back.
Yeah, it's been an interesting cycle, because if you're expecting, let's just say, it's for Jameis Winston to have some success, that offense is lit. Like, you're talking about Kamara out of the backfield. You got a couple of hammers that you can use at running back outside of him. And then you have probably, to me, would have been a top five wide receiving core. Like, off the charts, impressive. And it never got off the ground. Injuries, being young, who knows who your quarterback is, nothing worked out. It was almost like a Murphy's Law, which, again, for the Philadelphia Eagles is absolutely sensational, as the Eagles have not lost a football game, but yet are trending, drafting top five in 2023, which is pretty impressive as it breaks down. But just an uninspiring effort across the board. Like Andy Dalton, 17 to 27, Buck 74, two picks, one touchdown. Kamara, 3.3 yards per rush. You know, Chris Olave, who's been dealing lately, three catches, 40 yards. Jarvis Landry, get back, three catches, 37 yards. Kamara not doing much out of the backfield. It just seems like a dead weight franchise right now, which I don't know if I saw them being a dominant force, but I thought they could challenge Tampa Bay. And Tampa Bay stinks. Like, if the Saints were anything this year, they'd be in first place in this division. That tells you how bad they've been playing this year.
Yeah, they'd at least be challenging, but they're not even remotely in the mix. I love that you mentioned the Eagles thing as well. Imagine I told you, no other context, hey, the Eagles are going to have a top five pick in this year's draft. And you would have been, well, time to turn on the Bryce Young film. Better load up this C.J. Stroud highlight tape here, right? And that's just, you know, a sneaky side note to this upcoming draft is, there. Look, I've made this point. I think there's going to be a lot of teams looking quarterback, but a couple teams that might be in some spots to draft quarterback thanks to trades that they made, being both the Eagles and the Seahawks, who maybe now won't be drafting quarterback with Jalen Hurts and Geno sticking around for a while.
Yeah, I think I don't think they're going to need to go quarterback either direction there. And that certainly is going to help out some other teams where if the Eagles had ammunition, the same way that the Seattle Seahawks do, getting a couple first-round picks there for Russell Wilson, if they don't need it, the other teams are, hey, man, good. Maybe that market's going to be a little bit softer this year. Even though there's really good quarterbacks and everybody needs one, we'll try to get one. But anybody out of the quarterback market probably going to benefit as well, because let's just say you're the Eagles and you have the fourth overall pick. They're not going quarterback. Either A, can you imagine trading back who somebody's trying to get to number four to get a quarterback, what you can receive? Or B, you might get literally the best player on the board because you're not drafting quarterback at that point. So you do sit in a power position at that point here. But by the way, last Thursday night sort of slips out, right? Panthers 25, Falcons 15. Falcons dropped to 4-6, Panthers 3-7. In that game, a certain quarterback got a high ankle sprain. So today, out of nowhere, Baker Mayfield will be the starting quarterback this weekend for the Carolina Panthers. Not because anybody stinks or not playing well, but by injury here. Can we get lightning in a bottle and get a few more touchdown passes here is what I'm looking for Baker Mayfield.
Yeah, I'm rooting for you. It would be nice. I'm going the other direction on my season longs as I had Kyler Murray miss, of course, action. And then in the same game, Cooper Kupp played and actually hurt his total by finishing with negative yardage for that football game there, and now will likely be missing time as well. So that season-long player prop, you know, trap of avoiding injuries, certainly not looking like that's going to be fruitful. But also, if you're Baker, right? Yeah. Hold on a minute. Now, hold on. This guy, PJ, got to play the Falcons twice, and I get to come back and play Baltimore off a bye. Why don't you throw Darnold out there, and I'll get the next one. Come on now.
Yeah. in their own building, right? So it doesn't get easier. Hey, get out there and prove your point. Maybe they're just doing to try to beat them down and say, look, you're not the starter here, so don't worry about it. Look what you just did.
I think the game after that is Denver as well, the best defense in football. Yeah. Like, Baker's going to come back. It's going to be terrible. And people are going to turn that into P.J. Walker's actually a great quarterback. Oh, boy.
Yeah. Now, we'll see how that plays out, certainly. But also, just looking around the NFL on Sunday, having some fun going over some of these games, and certainly how it turns the next week. I already see some of the numbers on Bet365 coming up for team totals for next week. They're starting to filter through. I was just interested to see, like, what you're going to... Like, as soon as I see Carolina gets a starting quarterback change with Baker Mayfield, like, ooh, is it going to still be like a 15.5, and is there something that you can actually jump into and take? Next week, some really low numbers to pop out. The Colts, who play the Philadelphia Eagles next week, listed at 16.5 at a minus 115. That's with new rejuvenated Matt Ryan. And by the way, did a couple videos this morning. It's predicated a little bit tonight because you have to sort of line up next week. Now, the Eagles are favored by 11.5 right now at the FanDuel Sportsbook. We'll see how that plays out. We'll see how they win. But I was actually surprised, and I know the Philadelphia Eagles are unbeaten, and Indianapolis has been sort of a dumpster fire, at least the past 2 weeks when they had Ehlinger. But now getting back to a competent performance, surprised the Eagles were like a 9-point favorite, 9.5 at some spots, on the road against the Colts on a short week. Were you surprised by that at all?
It's a really big number to where I would not lay that number, but I'm not as surprised by it. Like, I think it's too high, but it's... It shows that they are not changing their perception on the Colts just because they went to Vegas, right, and were able to handle business. And I think we do have to remind ourselves that Matt Ryan, and I don't think wrongly, lost that job to Sam Ehlinger. Now, he's got it back, right, but he was turning the football over at an unbelievable rate. Like, the Colts were
one of the underachievers.
You know what I mean? So that's why it's not all of a sudden like, oh, man, they finally got healthy Matt Ryan back. It's like, yeah, watch what happens against the Philadelphia Eagles. That's a three-turnover game.
And by the way, blinking here, the Philadelphia Eagles just went from 9-8 at DraftKings, which I do agree with. Not to say the Eagles aren't going to win that game, but I think a little bit more competency here on the Indianapolis Colts will find that out, which the Eagles would love to have Ehlinger and another loss to the Vegas Raiders, but didn't happen there. We got a lot more to go over, so make sure you stick with us. It's Moneyline, Sports Grid Network, SiriusXM Channel 159.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Early bird gets the worm, as they say here. Upcoming NFL weekend, Lions already on the move. And no question here, Buffalo Bills favored by roughly double digits over Cleveland because that's what they do. They pulverize football teams. Don't you worry about the final score.
Oh, you mean the bad
Bills
teams?
Will be just fine here, pal.
Sure, no problem. What's that actual number? What is it, 11?
What?
What's the Buffalo-Cleveland number?
Opened at 6. It's now 9.5.
Hold on a minute. It's not 9.5. Is it really?
Yeah, that's what I'm looking at right now.
So so that's the books actually taking a little medicine, that means, then. Or I guess maybe they actually just have to start hanging somewhat reasonable numbers without the Buffalo crowd just coming on in and acting like it's free money. That's the number, that 9.5, right, is the number that we opened up against the Minnesota Vikings and is 2 points underneath what they laid in New York against the Jets. Good grief.
Yeah. It's and also, how about this? 31 degrees at kickoff, 21-mile-an-hour winds up in Buffalo. So it looks like one of those games that should be high scoring. And open up at 44.5, now at 47. But we'll get some looks here at this colder weather that's starting to move through. And certainly that is going to play a part. Now also, the Philadelphia Eagles game time, which we're going to break down a little bit later. 10.5 this morning on the early line over the Commanders. It's now to 11.5 at FanDuel. So we'll watch to see where that one plays. By the way, talking about some NFL topics here, have you noticed over the past week and a half, The NFLPA and its players making a concerted effort here to call it the NFL on playing surfaces. Like, we all should be playing only on grass, blah, 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 blah. Have you caught any of this?
Yeah, absolutely. I think Cooper Kupp sent out, like, a big message.
Yeah.
Like, it's almost like you see the tweets and it comes off like they're about to ask you to donate to a charity in a way. So it does seem like it's becoming league-wide from a player. You've not seen a single person be like, come on, guys, we all always wanted to play on turf. Let's leave it be. This is a good time. Yeah. Like, it seems like this is going to be a full-throat push, right?
It should be. Like, if you've ever played on AstroTurf, you know, field turf, whatever, there's a massive difference between playing on grass and turf. Well, turf is a lot faster game, but it hurts when you get tackled more on turf. You get burns up on your arms. Your leg doesn't give as much as it does on grass. And I'm going to go into this because here's what I like about it. It wasn't too long ago, Kevin, 20 years ago, that NFL players were angry at the playing surfaces being grass in the NFL. Now, I'm going to explain why. You have teams like the Chicago Bears, one of the worst-run organizations in sport. But the city of Chicago actually runs, like, Soldier Field. And I remember the Eagles numerous times going to Chicago, and Andy Reid always complained, like, what is this? Like, when you step in the grass, it goes up to, like, your knee. Because the Bears are like, we're big, we're mean, we're not that fast, we're going to slow it down for us. Like, what are we doing here at this point? And also, I don't know, maybe you're too young for this. Bill Belichick is the single reason why a lot of these football teams have field turf. Because the NFL had to step in and make sure they couldn't use that to your advantage. Because if you remember back in the day, Tom Brady, Teddy Bruschi, the Patriots weren't the biggest, fastest team by any stretch. So how they used to get you is, we're not going to take care of our field. So when you come up here in late November and December, it's going to look like you're playing in your backyard. So hey, Peyton Manning, Marvin Harrison, Reggie Wayne, and Edgerrin James, good luck even getting started up here. We're going to beat you into a pulp, and we're going to use your speed against you here. The NFL stepped in, you said, oh yes, you have to get turf. Now, the Pittsburgh Steelers still have grass, but there were times where it was so bad, Kevin, there was a game against the Miami Dolphins that the Pittsburgh Steelers punted and the ball plugged into the grass in a November game. Plugged in there. So there's a reason why a lot of these teams, because field turf obviously isn't the greatest, but you know you get a fair playing surface no matter where you go, as opposed to, you know what? Who we got coming in this week? It is the Miami Dolphins. Yeah, don't cut that grass for 2 weeks. Like, enough with that stuff. You know what I mean? It should be uniform. But there is validation for players going, hey, look, we'd rather play on grass. And I've told you this before. The Philadelphia Eagles, the only reason why I have grass is Jeffrey Lurie says, hey, the players tell me they're happier with grass. That's why we have grass. Not because we're built on speed or we're slower. I do what my players want here. That's why they come. And also, free agents, where do you want to play? In a dome on turf? Well, granted, if they're paying you a lot of money, you're going to do it anyway. But if a deciding factor is, hey, man, play most of your games on grass, that's what they're going to do.
Now, what this is, and yes, that's a good move by Lurie, right? To then just, hey, most
be
of your games
friendly.
I can now promise you will be on grass. That actually can make a difference because, there's obviously like, it hurts a little bit more, as you mentioned. These guys basically associate, I think, you can tell me if I'm wrong, turf with weeks, if not a full year of their career being missed thanks to having played a game on turf, right? So that's obvious. But one thing that I hear this, and boy does this sound, and you can say I give him an unfair rap, but I disagree. This sounds very Major League Baseball to me. This sounds very Major League Baseball in that I would expect baseball to be like, hey, you have your field however you want. And then you would go to Yankee Stadium and you'd be playing basically every single game like it was the Field of Dreams. Except what I mean is like the infield would look like how the outfield does at the Field of Dreams, like behind the wall nonsense.
Yes.
There is no reason that the NFL can't say, hey, look, football's meant to be played on grass. We play on grass. But in the same way that there's people that come in and check restaurants for quality, we're going to come in every Sunday or Saturday or Friday. I don't know when you need to get there. And we're going to check the field. Because what we're not going to do is have this look like we're not the most rich sport in the planet. What are we doing here? Obviously, we need to button this up. Doesn't that feel like a very easy fix, honestly, for the National Football League?
It does. And also, you're talking about technology getting better year by year by year. Now, granted, you can't do what Arizona does and says, hey, we roll it out and just put it outside in our dome. And it catches massive rays out here. We're in the desert, easy to grow grass. Then we roll it back in. You can't do that. But there are some stadiums in Europe that use that technology where they have those auto lamp lights that they put on so to make sure that the grass grows, like even in not the best environments. There are ways to get around it. But it looks like, and why would it have to be this? The NFL's going to be, hey, you guys want grass all over, and you got to concede on the salary cap. Like, it should never have to get to that. You see what I mean?
No,
but that's like in Major League Baseball, right? Like, hey, look, we know the DH, everybody wants it. We're going to pull this back as a bargaining chip. You go, you guys are just so, like, you know, short-sighted on these measures here. But you can see, like, if my players can me as an owner, I have more money than God. It costs way more money to have sod. It really does. Like, let's just say you get field turf one time, $1.3 million you pay. That bamboo is good for like 10 years. You might have to re-sod your field at a few $100,000 a pop 3 or 4 times a year. But if it makes sense, yes. But also, I'm telling you, keep in mind of this. It's not as easy as it sounds right now. The Washingtons, the Philadelphias, the Pittsburghs, you know, the Chicagos, the cold weather cities where grass doesn't grow, you are going to have some games where you tune in and go, oh my, and there's nothing you can do. This is why we should have had turf. This is a disgrace.
Yeah, but as long, but also, the disgrace of what it, oh, it looks bad, yada yada yada. If all of a sudden though, it feels like we're gonna have less torn ACLs,
mm-hmm.
like you take that trade off, and I think that should be an easy enough sell for these owners. And I don't even mean from an empathy standpoint because they don't have that, not in negotiations or with their wallets. I mean, hey. You know those guys that you pay millions of dollars? Well, now it's less likely they're going to get their ACLs torn to bits almost immediately.
Yeah, protecting your own investment, right? Forget about, oh, I don't want to pay an extra $1 million a year. Yeah, well, how about the Deshaun Watson $250 million guarantee blows his knee out because it didn't give? How about that investment? Did you protect it? Exactly. So, I mean, that's what we're dealing with. But also, the dueling reports is my favorite thing in the world. The NFL releases a statement that goes, why are you guys talking so much about grass and artificial turf? It's like 0.0000001 difference in getting injured. And then the NFLPA puts one out and is like, hey, man, you play on turf. Like, you're going to play 1 year and your career is over. Like, it's tremendous. How you see what I mean? How you can bend. Like, I don't even know how you make that because the assertion is, I don't think, just how many ACLs on turf compared to grass. It's not that. There has to be something going into where they focus in on knee injuries and why it possibly happened. But the NFLPA is like, man, turf is actually better for you. Or the NFLPA is, you know, turf is a disaster and the other way around for the NFL. I love that, too, because they're both trying to put their own data out. But I saw one guy respond back to the NFL, and it was a really good tweet back. He's like, oh, so you want us to believe this? Aren't you the guys that told you concussions? You don't get any more concussions being a football player than a math teacher. What, are you kidding me?
Yeah, I mean, Again, I guess financially it would be a bit more costly to do, but as you said, is there a single there's not a franchise that can't afford it.
Yeah.
And I think what you used to say is if a franchise can't afford it, then kick them out of the league.
Yes.
And then get a new owner. Get a new owner then.
Yeah, like Cincinnati's going to be like, you know, we can't even afford grass. I can't even cut my own grass at home, the Brown family says. But also, do you know what this brings up? Now, here's where the NFL is going to have an issue. Now, I'm going to ask you without revealing the reason why, and we'll get it after the break. If I tell you right now, why would the NFL push back against this? Do you know what the reason possibly would be?
I would have thought you were alluding to money, but if not, then if that's not the answer, then I think I'm missing it.
Yeah, it is money, but it's an interesting topic. Like, because I've been thinking about myself, like, why not just do this and make the easy change? Now, I was telling you about, like, what they do with some of the newer European soccer stadiums, but I'm going to tell you why this could be real damaging for the NFL right now. We'll get to that after the break, but there's a lot more to talk about here in the NFL and have some fun with you as we cruise through hour number one right here on the grid. And if you want to get involved, talk NFL, there's a big college basketball card tonight, get some CFB shots in here. Come on and have it, 844-843-6879, because I want to get to the bottom of this in the NFL and also some of the upcoming lines to take a look at and certainly finish our recap of Sunday afternoon. Come on back with us. It's Moneyline on a Monday.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Moneyline. Money rules the world. It's on Monday. We'll get to the callers in just a few moments here. 844-843-6879. But I was segueing in from the break there, Kevin. What you think might be the major issue now. So I'm going to go over this right now. SoFi Stadium. What is it? The U.S. Bank up in Minnesota. The Dome down in New Orleans. Indianapolis. What would be the hindrance?
Maybe the sponsors?
No. Where would you? What would you do with the grass? You don't have the retractable pads that you would need to build a starting stadium with now. Do you know what I mean? Like, the one in Arizona, right? We'll use that. The big spaceship toaster out there. Yeah. They built the stadium with grass in mind, which means they have the rolling mechanism under the stadium that takes the grass out midweek, puts it in the sun, and they roll it back in. Our stadiums don't have that. You can't even do that. So you can't put grass in a dome stadium. It will die. So what would you be doing? Resodding it weekly at $1 million a week? You see what I mean? Now, the new stadiums coming in, if this is a rule, they would all make changes. And also, like the soccer stadiums that made the changes where you would have the mechanism under the stadium. So you literally would drop the grass down 5 feet, and it would go under the UV lights to grow the grass. Then you bring it back up for game day. These stadiums right now, they aren't built for that. I don't even know how they would do it.
Yeah, I guess my quickest reply is... they can afford to figure it out, no?
Yeah, but see, you're talking like, because I don't even like structurally, because the new stadium, that's going to cost us an extra $30 million. That's fine. We'll do it because that's a cost that will sink in, and that's what the new rules are. But I don't even know how you change like a foundation of a stadium to do that. Is it even possible? Like, can you even do that in an off season, if that makes sense? Or do you mess up the structure itself? Because as I said, the ones in Arizona, Kevin, they just go out because they have more land, right? Oh, just blow that 100 yards out back. Like, you were just down at the stadium complex. Yeah, where's 100 yards going to go for a field behind or in front of that stadium? It's not.
And I guess as well, those stadiums, they need the ability to get that grass out of there because they run big events out of SoFi Stadium.
Correct.
And the Superdome and everything like that as well. So, yeah, I guess it's not going to be fixed overnight, but I do wonder what happens if, just say, we're left with, like, six teams that are turf only. And then would you see a... would it be a situation then where it's... everyone plays for a grass team? I guess that would be the situation. Because it's... man, there's only six teams that have turf. Like, I can pretty much avoid turf all in all. Because if I can just get out of the division and then I go there and basically... it's like a 10% chance that I'll play a game on turf. And if I'm that worried about it, hey coach, ankle's killing me this week. Really barking, sorry. I don't think I can make the trip to SoFi.
And by the way, also, you bring up a good point there, too. Like, just playing pickup basketball. Play all afternoon on a outside court that's asphalt. See how your knees feel the next day. Do the same thing while you're playing like indoors in like an LA Fitness on a nice hardwood surface. It's night and day, and it's the same thing with the players, man. If you have like a bulky ankle or a bulky knee and you're playing on turf, man, it's so much harder to recover than grass. But let's get to the phone lines here, 844-843-6879. Moose on a Monday. Oh, look at that. Queuing him up when he drops off. Maybe the grill. Maybe at the tend to the grill. K-Dub, what do you think?
Man, maybe he heard all this grass talk and he went outside. He's like, I want to go do a couple routes, see how I feel. He'll start drawing comparisons and how it all works.
Maybe he thought better of the Cleveland Browns game yesterday to come in here. Moose was talking sashimi out here over the weekend there, what they're going to do to those Dolphins. Oof.
You know, it is interesting. The one area to which I gave Cleveland some credence in the game, because I like the Dolphins on the three. I thought you'd worst case, you'd push. I thought they'd win the game. But I thought it was an under game. A lot of games in Miami have been going under. I was like, maybe this Cleveland defense is taking a step forward here. And it basically showed that everything about them beating Cincinnati was a spot. And we know that that's how things can work in the National Football League. Green Bay against Dallas was a spot. You know, the Jets against the Bills, right? There's it's just, you see it clear as day, man. This is the Texans-Eagles game, right? What a great spot to grab 14 points, and you cover the entire way home. No problem, really.
Yeah.
So, I think it's fair to say that at no point this Cleveland defense has been fixed. And when they're reevaluating things in the offseason, it's not, oh, sick. We've got Deshaun back. We're going to be able to go out there and just tear teams up. Offense has not really been your problem. Due to an electric run game and a decent set of pass catchers with Njoku establishing himself when he was healthy and Amari Cooper obviously being a complete steal that you got from the Dallas Cowboys, when that team's in the offseason, because they're not going to the playoffs. I mean, you ask Donnie about those upcoming games. They're not going to the playoffs.
Yeah. No.
But is there going to be concerns for that defense, or is it just kind of a speed bump season?
It's a shame because, right, when you're talking about the Cleveland Browns coming into the year, it was, hey, let's just hold the fort down and play 500 football. We'll be in it when Deshaun comes back. And what was the tagline? Lean on that nasty defense.
That's what everyone called. Everyone thought every single nasty Browns game was going to be 20-17, right? Under,
yes.
under. They were going to run the ball.
Hand it off.
Times a game.
Two-headed monster. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. It's not who they are. I mean, they not that they don't run it, but they're one of the over teams of the season. And they adjust numbers on them now. 49.5 in that game against Miami. Flew over the total.
Yeah. Miami's fun, man. Because I had that 1.5 prop. And I just feel like every update I got, like Miami was on the move. And just like, ooh, this is like really good stuff. By the way, yesterday, you know me last week. And I've been on a nice little run on calling touchdowns, specifically favorite guys to score touchdowns for some reason, which is beautiful. But the one I just thought was like Saquon Barkley. I'm telling you, man, they got in the red zone. They hand the football from the first quarter. Rumble down to the two. It was a false start. So it moved the ball back. They ended up throwing a touchdown pass. But the ones I really was starting to get angry at was the one was like a 3rd and 5 at midfield. It was at Slayton, I guess. Juked one player. And it was the play where it's bang, bang. Like, you know, like there's a really good chance they're going to knock this guy out inside the 5, like down to the 1. And Slayton got in. I'm like, he just blew my chance because he gets knocked out at the half-yard line. That's Saquon all day long. And I also took a boost to back it up for Daniel Jones, just in case he scored. And I'm watching that going, I can't believe, like, the one surefire thing I knew in this week was Saquon Barkley is going to score. And here he is, like, 129 yards on the ground, no touchdowns. I'm like, man, why didn't I just say, like, you knew they were going to give him the ball 30 times, but you figured it would come with a touchdown. And it eventually did come with a touchdown. But, boy, that was one of those where I was like, this was one of the easiest plays you could make. And I'm sitting here going, I can't believe this is happening.
Yeah, it's actually, like, to put it in terms of fantasy football, he had a disappointing day. You get 35 carries against that defense. Honestly. Like, I need 200 scrimmage yards and 2 touchdowns from you.
I was waiting for the 50-yard touchdown run.
Yes.
That busted it open.
How did he not pop one against that team with that many looks at it? It was. I know that's like, oh, that's a little unfair. But for a player of his talent in that spot with that workload, I don't think it is unfair. But they just keep chugging along, man. Where do they get next week? Detroit, if memory serves, I think?
Yes, Detroit at home. 3.5-point line. 3-point line now, down from 4. Weather conditions for this one, 38 degrees. Light wind, so it looks like they catch a little break.
I'm
like the way Detroit plays. Yeah, they're home, too. But only 3-point favorites.
I swear to God, I thought you said that line. I went, because I thought they were home. You said the line. I'm like, oh, man, it is in Detroit.
Yeah.
Only 3? It's the same line that the Bears laid?
Yeah.
Man, they really do get no love in the market, man.
Yeah.
They booked the Giants like they are a 2-win football team.
Correct. And you were watching yesterday against maybe the least talented team in the NFL, the Texans. And it was a dogfight on that line for about 8 minutes in the fourth quarter. Field goal this way, field goal the other way. Who's going to get in the red zone? Who can make one play? You're like, this is just what the Giants do, which is a sign of a well-coached team because they know how to win these games. But also, you got to take a step back, like, hey man, eventually you should be like winning these. Give me a nice little 28-3 over Houston. Like, what gives at this point? But that's what they are, and they're 3-point favorites against the Lions outdoors.
love, I can tell you this right now, absolutely love the New York Giants in that game. Oh, you got to be crazy town.
Yeah.
What, the Lions are going to win three games in a row? Come on, what are we doing here? I know it's early, but are you seeing that similarly? Or you're like,
yeah,
feed me some Detroit.
No, it's because the line is tough. Because if you're just reading lines, that's a stone cold Detroit line. But also, it's not a line like, because you know, I took the reason I took the Lions last week is because I had a legitimate chance there. That wasn't just a shot in the dark. I thought they had a legitimate chance to win because still a young team maturing in the Chicago Bears. Not exactly a 6-3 Bears team. I just thought, like, you know what? They're favored now, but do they deserve to be? Look like they deserve to be, and then they didn't because they lost the game. Like most teams, learning how to win, come up small like that. But you're actually asking Detroit to go on the road and beat the Giants. Like the Giants aren't 2-7 playing tough football, fighting teams. Like they're 7-2, like they're winning games. So you can't go into this game like, hey, you know what? I don't know if Detroit wins, but I think they can cover. That's, you're doing it wrong.
I just can't. Like if I ran through power ratings right now of the entire NFL, and this is where we talk, because gambling again is not records, right? The context of it all matters. And that's why a team like the Minnesota Vikings, like, you know, oh, I'm laying 10 with the Vikings this week. Well, you're going to end up losing that bet because they don't blow people out, right? But their record, no. So if I just rank teams based on what they've given me on every given Sunday, you know, are the Giants one of the 20 best teams in the NFL? It seems like, because my quick answer is certainly. But it seems like the books would tell you they are not one of the 20 best teams in this sport, despite holding a 7-2 record.
Was that a question?
No, it's just more of a point. Oh. Like, I, no,
I
yeah, yeah, no, no.
An answer.
No, yeah, no, I'm not gonna make you rank the 20 best teams in the league, right?
But all
right. It just feels as if the Giants, it's like there's, I can't say there's nothing they could do, right? Because they could smash a couple of teams, and that would go a long way.
Yeah. But
as we've talked about, they do have some wins on that resume.
They do.
The Baltimore and Packers, most notably.
Yeah.
Where, yeah, I know they were comeback wins. I'm not here trying to push them as contenders, but they are not. They're not like a bottom five team in this sport.
No, they're not. They just said the thing is that they're almost run like a high school football team in the 80s. Look, we know we got a really good running back. We're going to keep this game close. We've won close games. We know how to do this, and this is our style. Because Daniel Jones isn't going to throw you to a win. He's not going to throw for 375 yards and 5 touchdowns and go toe-to-toe. They're winning in their element. And you can't say they're getting lucky because they've beat some good football teams. Lucky once. Lucky would be their, like, you know, 3-4. I'm not going to get 2 of those wins. No, they're not. Like, every game plays out almost identical, and they're winning those games. Now, could you say Lamar Jackson just don't fumble the football or have a, you know, false start and the game is over and it turns into a ridiculous, you know, fumble slash interceptions and lose the game? That happens in the NFL. And it happens more than once. You're not getting lucky. You're being good in the moment here, and that's why you're winning those football games. Now, we'll be back to talk even more football right after this break. Come on back.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
It's gone. We're not gone, though. But you know what we do? Before we hit the top of the hour, quick segment here. Sirius XM Channel 159. It's Donnie Kevin in the afternoon on Moneyline. We find out where JP goes. Now, the NFL is playing tonight. College basketball is playing tonight. And I assume the NBA is also playing tonight. JP, keep it simple, right? It's NFL?
Yeah, I'm going to the NFL.
All right, so we're going to the NFL tonight. So let's line up. Now, as always, is it a side total or is it a prop?
Total. I'm going with the total tonight.
Ooh, here we go. So you could have, I worded it so I thought he would be like, you know, like side total, or he could just say side total. But I love the fact that he just went total. And I know where he's going. There's no way JP is going to go with a look at all the unders on prime time and hit an under. That's not the way he thinks.
I have no idea. I don't know how you have that confidence. JP's not scared of backing an under. It would hardly be his first. So I gotta keep that in play. I gotta keep that in range. But apparently, I mean, you're seeing it clearly here.
I am seeing
it clearly. I'm surprised he's on a total, though. This doesn't jump off the page like a total he'd be running to the window on. Him grabbing double digits
fire
with
prop?
The Commanders. Based on the Panthers, I mean, I feel like he would have been, sharpest man in the room. Would have snagged this number with 11.5 with the Commandos.
Also, odds boost tonight. Kay Adams boost. Hurts over 200 yards, Miles Sanders to run for 40, and A.J. Brown for 40. Only +130. Come on now. Come on now.
What do you need there?
I need way more than that. It's too many components to have a +130. Like, this isn't like Miles Sanders to rush for 40, A.J. Brown to have two catches, and Hurts at 175 for 130. Like, I understand that they're all achievable numbers that should be done fairly easily. But you know how it goes with three different legs. Oh, Sanders turns his ankle in the first quarter. You see what I mean? No. I need more.
Yeah, I feel like those are bad numbers. I agree.
And I feel like hour number two is coming up, and you don't want to miss out. So make sure you stay tuned. We're coming back. Hour number two, Moneyline next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Buy now and make no payments until fall. That's right. At Jeff Weiler's Columbus Auto Mall, drive today with no down payment and no payments for 120 days. Whether it's a car, truck, or SUV, why wait? Shop hundreds of vehicles, all with no payments till fall. Hurry into the Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall, where the deals won't wait, and neither should you. Find us on Gender Road or JeffWeilerColumbusAutoMall.com.
You know that feeling when you're about to score 30% off, but they want your number? Ugh. Give them your Line 2 number instead. It's a second line on your phone, perfect for nabbing promo codes without inviting spam to your party. Sign up for every discount under the sun, then block the junk texts that follow. You get all the perks, but none of the spammy baggage. More codes, less chaos. Visit line2.com/audio or download Line 2 in the App Store and get your shopping sidekick today. Because the only thing blowing up your phone should be good deals.